From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, accused of being physically violent toward four women, State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman resigns from office. We'll take a look at what happened and what's next. And our political observer, Alan Shartok, will share his thoughts about the political fallout from the scandal. And we head to Saranac Lake, where Senator Gillibrand touts employee ownership legislation for small businesses. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman resigned this week from office following allegations in The New Yorker that he was physically violent toward four women who have come forward with their stories. Meanwhile, Solicitor General Barbara Underwood became acting attorney general on Tuesday, taking over for the disgraced Schneiderman. At the state capitol, many were stunned at the rapid demise of the once popular Democratic attorney general and began maneuvering to name a successor. More now from the Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt.
Shock, disappointment, and disgust were the most common words used by lawmakers to describe their reaction when they read the article detailing the allegations against Attorney General Eric Schneiderman. According to the New Yorker article, he hit, choked, threatened, and belittled three women that he dated and slapped another woman who refused his sexual advances. Schneiderman denies the accusations, saying he was engaged in consensual role-playing. Assemblywoman Pat Fahey was named the chair of the Assembly Task Force on Women's Issues just 1 week ago. She says she first heard the news when she arrived home around 8 o'clock Monday night. She says she immediately had to sit down.
I am still in shock. I'd be lying if I said otherwise. I was completely in shock last night and still in shock today.
Under the state's constitution, the legislature picks a successor when there is a vacancy in the attorney general's office. That successor serves until the next statewide election, which occurs this coming November. Assembly Democrats numerically have the most members of any of the factions in the legislature, and so it is up to them to pick the person to succeed Schneiderman. Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie took a cautious approach, saying no decision's been made yet on exactly how to proceed. Several lawmakers said they think the legislature needs to appoint a woman to the job. Hastie says he's open to that.
If it's something that the legislature, you know, will do, you know, diversity does matter.
Governor Cuomo says the allegations against the former AG are deeply disturbing, and he credits the women who came forward.
I think these women were especially courageous. They were dealing with the attorney general, the top law enforcement. According to the article, they were threatened not to say anything, and they came forward anyway.
Cuomo says he doesn't plan to interfere with the legislature's choice, but he says it should be an open process with public interviews of candidates. And he says the Democratic State Convention occurs in 2 weeks, so perhaps lawmakers should wait.
The Democratic Party is not bound by the legislative process.
Cuomo controls the Democratic Party and presumably would have more control over the choice of the candidate. The governor says there's also no immediate need to have a new attorney general. He says acting attorney general Barbara Underwood, who he appointed, is a top quality person and that the office is not rudderless. Assemblywoman Fahey says whoever Schneiderman's successor is, they'll need to hit the ground running and take control of a number of important lawsuits that the former AG has filed, including over 100 court actions against President Trump and his administration. Schneiderman was also trying to build criminal cases against former Trump associates Paul Manafort and Michael Flynn in case the president pardoned them or Robert Mueller's special investigation was halted.
Whoever moves into this has got to be as strong and as aggressive as possible to really take on what is a national role, not just New York.
Already, potential candidates to run in either a Democratic primary or general election have expressed interest. Senator Mike Gianaris, who until recently was deputy Democratic leader, says his phone has been buzzing with texts and messages from people urging him to run.
There's been a lot of people encouraging me to look at it. I'm flattered that people would think I could be trusted with that important position.
2014 gubernatorial Democratic primary challenger Zephyr Teachout tweeted that she might be interested, saying that she is seriously considering running for attorney general. Other names mentioned include Congresswoman Kathleen Rice. She narrowly lost the Democratic primary for AG to Schneiderman in 2010, and former U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo responded to the news of Schneiderman's resignation and also laid out various paths to selecting the next state attorney general. The Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn has that story.
Cuomo, a Democrat, called the allegations deeply shocking and disturbing Tuesday morning in Tarrytown.
I have tremendous accolades for the women who came forward. That is the essence of this Me Too movement and this Me Too moment.
And he said,
no one is above the law. No one should be afraid to come forward.
Cuomo has called for an investigation into the allegations against Schneiderman, saying there could be more than one district attorney looking into the matter, given the allegations took place in different counties. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office says it is opening a criminal investigation, and Long Island prosecutors say they are also investigating allegations of physical violence by Schneiderman, given some of the alleged abuse occurred in the Hamptons in Suffolk County. Again, Cuomo.
Now, there is a complication with the District Attorney of Manhattan, Cy Vance. I had appointed the Attorney General to investigate the Manhattan District Attorney's handling of a sexual harassment case against Harvey Weinstein.
Schneiderman's resignation letter was sent late Tuesday afternoon. Solicitor General Barbara Underwood automatically becomes acting attorney general. Cuomo had appointed her when he served as attorney general. It is up to the legislature to decide whether to appoint an attorney general until an election.
The law says the legislature shall. They meet in a joint session with the Senate, and they shall appoint. It does not specify a timeline.
Cuomo, who faces a primary against Cynthia Nixon, would not outright say whether he preferred the legislature appoint an interim attorney general, but repeatedly noted the Democratic convention taking place in 2 weeks and the elections later this year. Common Cause New York Executive Director Susan Lerner says the legislature should appoint a placeholder to serve as the acting attorney general, someone who will not stand for election, allowing the voters to select from a competitive field of candidates in the fall. Meantime, Cuomo says the Attorney General's office could be a very important vehicle on the chronic sexual harassment issue facing the nation.
I think a qualified woman would be great, especially in this time.
Hudson Valley Democratic State Senator David Carlucci says there needs to be diversity, starting at the top of New York's governing structure.
We have so many qualified candidates, so I'm looking forward to having that debate and having a female candidate for the first time in 240 years lead the office of Attorney General.
Here's Cuomo.
The only good news here is the Solicitor General is a top quality person who will not be running for office, so she won't be playing politics, and she'll just be doing the job. And so I see no immediate rush, because it's not as if the Attorney General's office is rudderless in the meantime. It's not.
On the subject of rudders, Cuomo's responses to reporter questions about the Attorney General position came after a boat tour of both the new Mario Cuomo Bridge and what's left of the old Tappan Zee alongside. On the latter,
there's a milestone that we're going to reach today, which is we're taking down one of the five sections of the main bridge. It's about 500 feet long. It's about 4,700 tons.
The 62-year-old Tappan Zee Bridge was officially retired in October.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok. Alan,
the headlines that make you scratch your head and read it again. New York State's Attorney General Eric Schneiderman has resigned from office following allegations in The New Yorker that he was physically violent toward four women who have come forward with their stories. In a statement, Schneiderman said he, quote, strongly contests the allegations, which he says have nothing to do with his professional life, but he says the charges will effectively prevent him from leading the office at a critical time. The governor, one leader after another, including gubernatorial candidates, called for him to resign just a few hours after the New Yorker article came out documenting these encounters with four women, which also include stories of excessive drinking.
David, this is a very, very sad story, both, of course, for the victims, assuming that they are telling the truth and has an air of credibility, as has been stated, and for him. I mean, he's done a good job as Attorney General. He sued the Trump administration on many levels. He was a guy who really talked the talk when it came to women's rights. And so it's a very sad story. It's sad for him, and it's sad for the women, and it's sad for the state. Right now, as you probably know, what's going to happen is the Assembly meets with the Senate in joint session. It's the only time they really do to find a replacement for the short time in office. And as they did with Tom DiNapoli, who turned out to be a brilliant choice as a state controller when Alan Hevesy was outed, and now they're going to have to find somebody else. And there are a lot of people whose names have been mentioned. Of course, the most fascinating of which has been Preet Bharara. But I don't think the Assembly has the guts to do it. You better remember that Andrew Cuomo is obviously going to have a horse in this race, and he's going to want to pick the Attorney General candidate. Whether the Assembly rolls over and lets him is anybody's guess. It may well be that Cuomo wants them to name one of his legal people on his staff, but Carl Hastie, otherwise known as Boss Hastie by me, the former boss of the Bronx and now the Assembly Speaker, will obviously pick the person because the iron law of oligarchy sets in. And, you know, the one guy sitting at the top of the Assembly is going to make this decision. Hastie has not shown any great penchant for contesting with Cuomo for power, that's for sure. So he may fold and do what Cuomo wants, but we'll see. If it's a Cuomo staffer or ally, you better believe that Cuomo will have made the pick.
Interesting that, too, on the very day that the Republican candidate, Manny Alejandro, announced he was going to run against the Democrat Schneiderman, this occurs now with the resignation, and as you said, the pick coming on the Democratic side. Alan, your thoughts on whether or not a scandal like this in a Trump year would raise the profile of the Republican in the race?
I don't think there's any doubt about it. This has got to be a hefty push for the Republican candidate. Nevertheless, he is a who-he. Nobody's ever heard of him, really, in politics. If the Democrats are smart and they nominate somebody like Preet Bharara, who really would raise a certain amount of hell, it would be a very smart thing to do. Bharara could not lose, not in my opinion. But of course, Andrew Cuomo isn't going to like the idea of putting a potential competitor for the headlines in that spot. AG has always stood for almost governor, David. We have seen this story play out, and as I said before, it's a very sad story.
Governor Andrew Cuomo empowered the Nassau County District Attorney Madeline Singus to serve as the special prosecutor to review the alleged actions of ex-Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, Alan, and that has created quite a war of words between his office and the office of the Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance. This also has to do with the Harvey Weinstein prosecution, and it's not pretty.
Yeah, the Harvey Weinstein thing, of course, is that they're accusing Cy Vance of not having moved fast enough. Of course, there is now a huge game going on of who's going to be the new attorney general. There's no question that Cuomo would like to have somebody of his own choosing who is in there. Cuomo having been the attorney general himself, and you may remember there was a dust-up when Cuomo moved from attorney general to governor. It was clear that he would like some of the prerogatives he had as attorney general to travel with him to the new office. And you may remember that Schneiderman said no. leading one to wonder who dropped the dime on Schneiderman, although there can be little doubt, based on these reports, if they are true, that Schneiderman was very vulnerable. In any case, now, there is no goodwill between Vance and Cuomo, and that is a dangerous thing for Cuomo. On the one hand, he has tremendous powers. He can put somebody in like the Long Island DA, and on the other hand, Vance is a district attorney in probably the most important venue in the United States. And if he wanted to, he could start doing some investigations that are related to some of the Cuomo staff wrongdoing. It reminds me of Tarzan and Bamba the Jungle Boy as they face off against the wild animals. It's fraught with danger.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok. School board elections are coming up next week. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas has a preview.
In the past, Albany Board of Education elections were held November in conjunction with the general election. Governor Andrew Cuomo signed legislation last summer to shift the board elections to the third Tuesday in May, the same time as the school budget vote. This brings Albany in line with other districts statewide. New York State School Boards Association Executive Director Tim Creamer has an overview.
Slightly more than half of the school board races this year are uncontested. About 58% of them are uncontested. That is, the number of candidates running for the school board is the same as the number of available seats. The total number of school board seats up for election is 1,660. There are 1,742 candidates running for them, which is an average of 1.3 candidates per open board seat. About half of the candidates who are running for those seats are incumbents who are running for re-election. There are 835 first-time candidates running for school board seats. There were 367 incumbents who are not returning. We have 732 school board candidates who are running unopposed. To our dismay, there are 32 school districts that do not have enough school board candidates to fill all the available seats.
The Bethlehem Central School District is among that 32. Jody Monroe is superintendent in the district near Albany.
So we have two vacant board seats. Two of our sitting board members are not returning. And we have one individual who submitted their petition who's running. And obviously we have two seats to fill. So this seats will actually be decided by likely write-in votes. That's the process that will follow. Since I've been in the district, we've never had this happen. And no one can recall this ever happening in the district. So I think this is a first. Last year, we had eight candidates running.
In Albany, three of seven seats on the Board of Education are up May 15, 2 4-year terms and 1 1-year term. The top two vote-getters each will serve a 4-year term. The candidate receiving the third most votes will serve 1 year. Again, Tim Creamer.
You have now two people who are incumbents, Ellen Roach and Tabitha Wilson, running for their seat. They want to run for re-election. Sue Adler, who has been the president of the Albany Board, is not seeking re-election. There's a person who is running named Demarisa Alexander Mann, who is running with Roach and Wilson as a slate. There's a fourth candidate running for those as well. Ken Bruce, seeking to reclaim a seat that he resigned last year when the board accused him of a breach of confidentiality in the district's superintendent search.
Bruce did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Elsewhere, a teenager is running in the western New York town of Greece. 19-year-old Derek Schrank tells Rochester Media the board needs a voting member who can better understand and relate to the student body. The SUNY Geneseo journalism student says he has already scheduled classes around school board meetings next semester, in case he wins. Creamer expects voter apathy regarding school budgets to factor in next week's board contests.
804,000 voters turn out statewide in 2012. That's down to 557,000 voters in 2017, which is a 31% drop in voter turnout during this tax cap era.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. New York U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand was in Saranac Lake this week to promote legislation that would help small businesses transition to employee ownership. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley was there.
The Main Street Employee Ownership Act is bipartisan legislation that helps small businesses transition to an employee stock ownership plan, or ESOP, or a cooperative. Senator Gillibrand says it's one way that the economy can work for everyone.
Right now, there's SBA programs, the Small Business Administration programs, that increases access to capital for small businesses. And so I have a bill that reforms that in a way that makes it easier for employee-owned businesses and co-ops to get access to that same money so they can grow their businesses. ESOPs have a really great track record. People who work in employee-owned businesses earn 5 to 10% more and have greater savings. So it's really important that we invest in models that allow workers to thrive and our economy to grow.
Gillibrand explained that the bill aims to streamline resources and funding.
One of the problems with the SBA today is that the 7A loans are difficult to navigate for both ESOPs and co-ops. So it streamlines the process, which creates more financing options for the ESOPs. It also can offer loans for the transaction costs of an employee ownership transition, which estimated about $80,000. So let's just say you do have a baby boom employer who wants to retire and do this. The transition cost alone can be expensive. And so it gives access for those loans. The other thing it's going to do is provide more outreach through the SBA to these small businesses.
Gillibrand promoted the legislation at ANCA, the Adirondack North Country Association in Saranac Lake. Executive Director Kate Fish calls small business the backbone of rural communities.
Our research indicates that in the North Country, north of Route 90, there are probably 10 to 16,000 businesses that are owned by baby boomers who are going to be looking at retirement. That's a huge number of people employed. And it's kind of an invisible problem until you see the going out of business sign or the closed sign and you find out that it was somebody who was retired and they just didn't want to keep going and they couldn't find anybody to take over their business. So it's like this invisible problem that we are trying to get a hold of. We need to keep those businesses sticking around.
Regional Advocacy Coordinator Jacob Venny-Volrath is co-director of ANCA's recently launched Center for Business Transition.
Employee-owned businesses have been around for hundreds of years. We've seen a transition away from employee-owned businesses to more single operators. It's coming back around. It's coming full circle because people are realizing, particularly in our rural region, that it's just a more sustainable, viable option for keeping our business open. And a lot of our small businesses don't have plans in place for their transition. They're too busy just keeping the doors open. So we're hoping to provide them a little bit more resources.
Senator Gillibrand hopes to attach the proposal to what she called a must-pass economic growth bill.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. As for program number 1819. Or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare online at nysut.org.